From page Kuf Samach Hes in this edition, the end of Perek Yud Gimel. I think in the other edition is the end of Perek Yud Beis. I'm pretty sure. The Perek, the entire Perek is about Hashem's answering us and feeling that and being aware of that response by Hashem, our davening and our hezbodidus. And in order to connect to this, the Mechaber was taking us through little pieces of Sipur Maisias. So last week we were talking about the Maisi of the exchange children and how the true Ben Melech, the true prince, was forced away and was dragging around in Golas while the Ben Shivcha, the imposter, is sitting on the throne. And we learned how Rabbi Nachman was very, very careful to tell us how there was that first reaction of the Ben Melech. And then later on, there was a second reaction. But at this point, later on, it's already Shenis Yashav Bedaita. It was already with Yishuv Hadas, which means that it was already, he's already working on this with his Bodhidus. There's already Yishuv Hadas. And whereas the first time he didn't mention the Shem Hashem, but now the Ben Melech is crying out, Ma Zos Asali Elokim. What did Hashem do to me? Hashem is part of this conversation. Originally, he was just crying, just complaining. And now it's Mazos Osli Elokim. See, even though, as we were talking a little bit last week, even though that might sound initially like it's Chalila sacrilegious, it's Mazos Osli Elokim. It sounds like it's a worse response than the first time, but the truth is it's not. It's very significant that he's beginning to bring Hashem into this and to talk to Kadosh Baruch Hu, why have you done this to me? So he's in a conversation now. He's already beginning to be back in a relationship. And as we were talking about last week, even if you're upset, even if you're angry, but you don't walk away. You're not walking away. You're not hiding. Mazos also a little Kim, and it's already Nisyasha Bedaito. Nisyasha Bedaito. Now, the precedent for this type of behavior, whenever we want to find out about davening, anything when it comes to davening, we of course go to David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the Baal Tefillah. He's the Baal Tefillah. David HaMelech was the one who said about himself, "Ani Tefillah." His whole mitzvah, his whole mahus was Tefillah, was davening. So, at the end of the parak, the Mechaber here takes us into one of the kapitlach into Ayin Zayin, which is one of the kapitlach of the Tikkun Klali. Parak Ayin Zayin until him is one of the prakim of the Tikkun Klali, and we see how David Melech, an example of how David Melech, who was, of course, the true Ben Melech. Ben Melech was the true Ben Melech. But because of what was happening in his life, his enemies and so on, he was now being looked at as a Ben Shifcha. He was now not the Ben Melech that he really was. And what happens to David HaMelech when the Ben HaMelech suddenly finds himself in the position of a Ben Shifcha, which happens to all of us? How do you deal with that as far as davening? So that's what this is about. Al pi akdamis elu nitin levarias hanemar v'psukim de lahalin in Kapitel Ayin Zayin. Now remember, the things got so bad for David HaMelech, and it was like all over the internet. Whatever the internet was in those days, which Yentes could work pretty quickly, maybe not like as quickly as the internet, but not far behind. And there's a lot of yentering about David HaMelech's yichus, as you all know. Who is he? Where does he come from? What kind of yichus? He's not a miuchus. He shouldn't be a melech to begin with. And there were rumors, of course, circulating about personal life, his behavior, and so on. There were different things going around that were making the rounds. And, in the mikvahs, and people were schmoozing in the mikvahs already about it, about David HaMelech. So it wasn't good. Hakadekach, that we learned that David HaMelech was thinking about dropping everything of going, running away from Eretz Yisrael. I'll say that of leaving Yiddishkeit, but of course we learned already earlier, it doesn't mean it's simple pshat, but it was bad. It was definitely bad. So it says, Ezkra Niginasi Balaila. At night, I remember the songs that I used to sing. David HaMelech says, at night, I remember the songs that I sang. In Levavi Asicha, I speak in my heart, means I reflect, I contemplate this. In Levavi Asicha, V'chapes Ruchi. And my spirit is searching. My soul is searching. And the pasuk goes on, Haloi Lomim Yiznach Hashem. Will Hashem forsake me forever? So again, it sounds sacrilegious. What kind of way is that for a nice, firm person to talk? I'm searching my soul, and what I'm coming up with is this fear of Ha'olam Yiznach Hashem. Is Hashem going to leave me forever? Has Hashem deserted me? How could he allow this to happen to me? Has Hashem deserted? Ha'olam Yiznach Hashem. So Rabbeinu Mefarish Shabalayla, Az Hazman L'Suchim Levav. So first, Rabbi Nachman says that it's significant that it was at night. At night is the best time for his bordus. Now it's not like it used to be. Then at night, everything was just totally quiet and everything. That was it. Everybody was sleeping. When it got dark, everybody went to sleep. Now when it gets dark, people are just starting to act up. But the night is a time of quiet. So it's important that this takes place at night. He begins to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First, he speaks again within himself. And Rabbi Nachman explains that when it says, "Im levavi asicha," I speak to my heart, and I'm searching with my soul, it means that he's entering into this, his bodhis. And then when Don Melach davens, he does his bodhis. Shal Don Melach alav shalom shalosh shaylos. We see that over here, that Don Melach has three questions that he asks. Three questions. Aleph. Halo olamim yiznach Hashem lo yosif lirtzas od. Has Hashem forsaken me forever? Will he never again show his favor to me? Will Yosef Lirtzos out? That's the first question. Beis. Then the parak goes on. He'ofeis la'netzach chazdo, goma oimer l'dor v'dor. And then he's speaking in a broader way about Am Yisrael. Has his love, because Rav Dovid Melech is davening for himself and for all of us. Has his love for us disappeared forever? Has it faced on Netzach Chazdo? His love, his kindness, is it gone forever? The door of Hador means for all generations, meaning forever. Klemer, b'chikol chazdo v'imreis nachamaisav nigmru uposum ha'ilam l'dari daris. Has Hashem's love, his kindness, has his nechamis, like in the past, though not saying in the past, the Navi would come and would represent Hashem, and the Navi would say, nechamis. He would give over nechamis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would console, would comfort us, would be mechazik us, give us some chizik. So David Malach is saying, where's the chizik over here? Does this mean that Hashem has left us forever? And where is his nechamis? Pasum la'il medari dar, says, he's not going to comfort us. He's not going to give us any chizik. That's the second question of David Malach. Gimel, the third question. Ashocha chanois kel im kofatz ba'af rachm of sela. The English of this is, has Hashem forgotten to be gracious? Chanos is like v'eschanan, chayn. Has Hashem forgotten what it means to be gracious, to be kind, to be gracious? Chayn chinam means even if someone's unworthy. Like Veschana, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not worthy. But Hashem has he forgotten to be gracious, even if somebody is taka unworthy? Hashocha chanois kel, im kofatz ba'af rachm of sela. And because of his anger, his rachmim are being withheld forever. Because of his anger, his rachmim is being withheld forever. Klemar, that's what it says in Tilly. Klemar, Haim Shocha Hashem is Midos Oli Eschainai. Has Hashem forgotten that there's a Midah that he has of being Rachum V'chanun? Chanun? Even if somebody is not worthy? David Melech's not saying that he hasn't, on his level, that he hasn't made mistakes, that he's completely innocent. He's not saying that. He's saying, but what about the midah of Rachum v'Chanun, Rachmanis and Chanina? Hayim kofatz, kvitza of course means jumping, but it also means in the lashon of the Tanakh, leisikpaitz means yadcha, means to close your hand, to become closed. Has Hashem shut down this midah of rachmim, of chesed? These are very strong questions, not just questions. They're tarumas. It's like stronger than just a question. He's not asking because of theology. He's asking because he's tzibroch. Okay, so now David HaMelech had Ruach HaKadosh, and David HaMelech, when he would say such things, we could only imagine that he was hoping to hear something back. He was hoping to get something back from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are strong things that he's saying. So the next thing we see in the Pasuk is, not that the Ramah says, okay, hold on, I'm getting something. That's not what it says in the Pasuk. He just continues and he says, V'omar doesn't just mean V'omar, and it means V'omar, means I'm working this Indian out. I think the English translator is, I reasoned. I thought it through. V'omar, it's a hard pasuk, but listen to what he says. Chaloisi hi shnois yomin elyon. So the English says, I worked on this, I thought about this, I reasoned this, whatever, that it was to frighten me that Hashem hid his right hand. That was the answer to the kashas that I asked. The answer is that Hashem wanted to shake me up. Hashem wanted to shake me up. And because of that, or in order to shake me up, he's hiding his right hand. Right means love and kindness. He's hiding his right hand. Chaloisi hi shnois yomin elyon. Climber. Ain't shinu be a min elyon shihimidis atoy. Hashem, nothing in Hashem changed. Hashem loves us. Hashem loves David HaMelech. Hashem still is rachum v'chanun. He's still all the good stuff. Hashem has all of those midas. Nothing changed in Hashem as well. Achesed v'arotz v'rachmim v'chanina shel Hashem. It's all there. That's David HaMelech's conclusion. That nothing has changed. Hashem still loves him. Hashem is Baruch is still gracious and kind and loving. Hashinu yiban hagas Hashem. Now here, this is what makes David HaMelech great, because most people don't come to this conclusion. His conclusion was that the reason that I'm seeing that Hashem is not treating me in that way of love and kindness and graciousness, and that he's hiding. The right hand is there, but he's hiding it. And the reason for that is Novemi Mani. It's because of me. It's because of my behavior. It's because of what I've done. And that Hashem, in his unknowable way, wants better for me and wants me to become a greater person. And because of that, he's hiding his right hand from me. That's the simple pshat in these psukim. David HaMelech's kashas and David HaMelech's teretz. V'lachein omar chaloisi klomar chatoi hanechshavim kechayli. My sickness, meaning my sins. As we see that throughout Tehillim he uses such a lashonus, such a lashon when it comes to sins. For nafshi ki chatasi lo, heal myself because I've sinned against you, and so on. So when David HaMelech says chaloisi, it means it's my sickness. First, it's maybe Hashem kivyochel is not well. Which usually that's what we conclude. Something's up. So David HaMelech first was thinking something is not right in Shemayim. And he asks these questions. Haloi Loman, Hashem, and what happened to the Chesed? What happened to the Chaninas? And what happened? In other words, something is wrong with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Something is wrong. And that's where most people stop, and then they write books and they make movies and so on. But David HaMelech goes on. And he says, Chaloisi. He says, Ich bin krank. He's not sick. He didn't change. I changed. Something's wrong with me. Chaloisi. Shnois yom elyon. Klemacha chatoya nechshav mkecholi. Heim elu shehitu es yimin elyon. That because of my sickness, and Hashem loves me and he wants to heal my sickness. He wants me to get better. So he's not kissing me and hugging me right now. He's not making everything go away, all the bad people go away, and all the bad stuff go away. Just the opposite. And that's why Hashem is hiding the Midas HaChesed. He's hiding his right hand. Tabnach refers what?
The Yamin is Elyon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yamin Elyon. But what he's explaining is that you see how hard, I mean, Tehillim's a hard site. Just to learn a pasuk, Tehillim's very hard. To learn it the way the Baruch Shalom gave it over, the way David HaMelech gave it over, it's hard. You could say Stam Pshatlach, you could say all day. But to be able to hear David HaMelech and what he's explaining here is that this was the answer that he got from Hashem. He understood. He was searching his soul, and he spoke this out with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, his Bardus. And he walked away from his Bardus with the same problems in his life. Things didn't go away, but he felt better. And the reason that he felt better is because he believed that Hashem communicated to him through his own soul and through his brother searching his soul and speaking openly and honestly with Hashem, that Hashem made it known to him that there's no lack of love on my part, but there's poor behavior on your part. So, on his madrega, when we say such things, God forbid, I don't mean to say that out of mouth, but on his madrega, the way he understood himself, not the way we understand, we don't know anything about David HaMelech. Can't say anything like that. But that's how he walked away. So he walked away with the feeling that the Baruch Shalom loves me. He's hiding his right hand. I have to think about what I could do to be more of a worthy person. I have to get back onto the program. I have to think about my life. I have to do tshuva, which is the whole kippur l'tshuva. When he David HaMelech b'tchilas dibur la'Hashem Yisbarach hiksha kush yishenim emes. The questions that he asked, they were strong questions, but they weren't emesic. They were coming from a person who feels bad and who's angry. And every one of us would say, listen, you understand why you're angry. Things have taken a horrible turn in your life. And nowadays, that would mean, of course, that everyone would have to validate that. And all the therapists and the adults and parents and whoever would have to validate all of that. And that's where it would end. But that's not David HaMelech. David HaMelech is a tzaddik. So he begins with these kashas, and he's searching deep inside of himself. And he says honestly, this is what was bugging me. And he says the words. He says the words. Nowadays, it would be totally censored, right? Could you imagine a tzaddik feeling this way and would come out in a book? It would be what's it called? Culture cancel. Cancel culture, right? Mm-hmm. Forget it. This would never be published. If he would send this to from publisher, this would never be published. And if it would be published, then they would say he never said it. There would never be published such a thing. But it made it past the big censor. And David HaMelech says it outright. I'm upset. I'm angry. What is this? You've forsaken me. Whatever happened to your Midas Achein? Whatever happened to Mizrachim? What is this? And so on. And he goes and he's saying this out. It's his part of this. He's saying it out. And we could only imagine, like David HaMelech sitting there in the night, like Yerushalayim someplace, or he was maybe outside, I don't know where, and Ari Yehuda somewhere walking around and saying this, screaming it. And then he said, all of a sudden, he says, Chaloisi Hishnais Yamas, Yamana. Chaloisi. Ay, Rabbi Shalom, I'm so sick. I have such problems. Well, it's not that you don't love me. It's not that you're not with me. There's a reason why you're hiding your right hand. And then he goes on to talk about that, about what he needs to do in his life. So now you have to end with validation. You can't go on. If you continue on after validating, then it's ice validation. You understand? You have to only validate. And I'm not making fun of that. There's a little bit of making fun, but not everything. Because it's a hechatimsa, you know, of how to get through to somebody. But it's not entirely amistic, of course. There's no other way to get through to anybody nowadays. If you don't agree with everything, the person's not gonna hear you. So you have to agree with everything. And everything, you didn't do anything wrong, everything's perfect, you're tzaddik. Everything is perfect. You never did anything wrong in your life, everything's perfect, you're tzaddik, sure, whatever you want to do, it's good. And then hopefully that person will trust you. And then somehow over time that things will get better. That's tough Shin Pei base. But that wasn't how it was back then. It wasn't even like that a few years ago. But it wasn't working anymore. It doesn't work anymore. Once the right hand is hidden, that's it now. If you hide your right hand from your kids, you're finished. You can't do that. You can't do that. So David HaMelech continues on. And his brother, as he comes to this truth, this deep, deep truth. It's about this, David HaMelech. When you David HaMelech with Chizdi Buro, La Hashem Ezbar, Hiksha Kush Yishen HaMemes, She Emes Hi Chaloisi, Vishnois Yamin Oli. The truth is Chaloisi. And that's why Hashem seems to have changed Yamin Elyon, meaning seems to be hiding his higher right hand, because Hashem wants only to give us love. That's the Yamin Elyon. Imkein Madua Kosa Vihinsiach Sheloisov Tanoisa Bisevatilm. So the big question is, why did David HaMelech send those first psukim into the publisher? Like, why did he send them in? Why did he send it in? Just get to the point. Chaloisi, you know, there's a mess in my life. I'm going to try to do tshuva. Shkoyach. That's the end. What is he writing the kashas? You know, there's a whole school of thought out there that doesn't want our children to be exposed to any questions at all about anything in Yiddishkeit, because if they're going to hear the questions, that might destroy them. There's a whole mahalach like that. What happened this past couple of weeks in Eretz Yisrael? There's a whole mahalach of a mahalach out there that says, let's just do a cosmetic, let's just make things better, fix things up, make up some stories, whatever. Like nothing happened. We'll make believe nothing happened. Because this could create such a question on the part of the kids that we could chas v'shalom lose them. There's a mahalach like that. That they won't be able to deal with this information. So either we change the story, we just change the story, or we say it never happened. All kinds of misinformation and cover-ups, because the kashas are too great. There's a mahalach like that. But David HaMelech sent it all into the publisher. What's going to happen when people read these psukim? So either they're not assumed that no one's going to try to figure out what they mean, which that's a pretty good assumption. Pretty good. Or Darmach wanted something from us. He was trying to help us, which I believe that Darmach was doing everything for us. And he wanted us to be honest and to search our souls. And he wanted you to be able to be angry and to say, Baruch Shalom, I feel angry. I feel let down. I feel you disappointed me. Talk it out. Do this by this. Talk it out. And if you keep up with that, just don't run away. Don't run away from the Baruch Shalom. Talk it out. You're angry? Go ahead. But be honest about yourself also, not just about your tainus. Talk it out and be honest. And then Hashem will help you to understand the way he did for me, that he loves me. He does love me. And he hasn't left me. But I need to think about others. I need to think about stuff in my life. I need to work on stuff in my life. The questions that have to be asked should be asked. But David HaMelech is not hiding. And he feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. And the answer is not everything is going to be fine. The answer is that it was made known to David HaMelech. He felt within himself that this is not Hashem disappearing from my life. This is not Hashem rejecting me. This is Hashem reaching out to me and telling me, David, the game is over. That's it. And David HaMelech was the kind of person I could take. Not everybody can. Be careful. David HaMelech could take it. And he gave it over to us. Ella shik shadavid mahamelech alashon piri sichos of etzaru lefnei Hashem esbach betaynis v'amslois. When David HaMelech piri sichos, he said what was on his mind. He said what he was really. He was honest. This is what I feel. And he said it out, and it was obviously it was much more to it than just a few words. He spoke it out. Hey, you Hashem b'levav, is that shuvah amitis? And Hashem illuminated his heart with the truth, with the real answer, which is chalos. I'm sick. I have a problem. You know how many times that happens in therapy? You have a husband and wife, Lamarshall, they go. Tainus, each one, ad leva shamayim. Tainus. 10, 20, 30, 40 years, vervais. Tainus. And they go, and it's a very, very chashuv, a good therapist. At some point, each one says, chalais, I'm so sick. I'm so sorry. That's what it is. But you have to first talk it out. You have, of course, the holdouts that the only conclusion they come to is, oh, you're so sick. Well, you're so sick. I can't believe I married you. You're so sick. It's amazing I stayed with you this long. You're just so sick. Ay. But the David HaMelech that go to therapy, they come to this conclusion. Hello, you see. Ay, ay, ay. Hello, you see. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That doesn't mean that the person didn't do any avla to you. Maybe the person did do something good. But it's because I did that you did that. And even if you initiated something bad, if I would have reacted in a normal way, in a compassionate way, then it would have ended right there. So chaloisi, I'm sick. Chaloisi. That's the true answer. Hey, Hashem b'levavos atshuva amitis ki lo yad Hashem asazos. Hashem didn't change his meters. It's not the end of the 13 meters. Ella, be Adoni Ha'avon, like Donamel says, be Adoni Ha'avon. I am the one who has sinned. I'm the one who changed, not you. Anihu Achayev Bezer. Well, Zesh Shav Dov B'Tshuva, and then, of course, the rest is history of Dov Damel's Tshuva. Therefore, David HaMelech Davke put that forever in Tilm, that every Jew that says Tilm should see, this is the way of a Jew. This is how a person should live. I was also angry. You don't think I had tainus? I have tainus. And here they are. Oh, you're very, very frum. You feel like I'm sacrilegious. Then don't go read some other book. If this book is not for you, and if you're too sensitive, then you want it to be, or you want it to be censored. Because nowadays this would be all censored, it would be omitted. There are so many things that have been censored. I mean, just like from Rav Kook's writings, if you believe that. You know, sometimes somebody was never in my office, they walk into the office, and they like, you know, the swarm, they see all the swarm. They looks around, wow, to see this from me. And I always tell them, the best stuff is the ones that are behind these farms. That's what the best stuff is. But you're not allowed to look over there. That's where I have my good stuff, behind this farm. David Melech says, uncensored, here I am, just like you. You're angry. You feel that God let you down. You feel that he doesn't care about you anymore. I felt the same way. Same way. But be careful to what conclusion you come to. I felt, you feel like running away from Yiddishkeit? You feel like it's time for OTD, off the derech? I also felt that way. And he says, uncensored. I also felt that way. The Gemara doesn't censor things. That's a modern day occupation. I remember when Rav Gusman was nifted, someone of the great Rashir Rav Gusman, who my wife's grandfather were best friends. Rav Gusman was nifted, so they put in the from newspaper, they put out his biography, and they just left out like a whole bunch of years. I don't remember exactly how many years there were, but when he was Rosh Hashiva in Crown Heights of Lubavitch was omitted. And all you have to do, they think you're an idiot, and you read it. You just have to look at the years and say, like, why are there 11 years? What happened during the 11 years? He was playing golf, and what was he doing during those 11? No, he was Rosh Hashiva in Crown Heights, and Lubavitch Hashiv. But that particular newspaper couldn't bring itself to say that such a chashiva Adam Gadol like Rav Gusman was actually Rosh Hashiva in Lubavitch. They couldn't put it to print. Why? Because who knows? Maybe some impressionable yeshiva bacher might read this and think that, well, if Rav Kusman was Rosh Hashiva and Lubavitch, maybe Lubavitch is not as bad as my rabbi said they are. Maybe there's something to that Lubavitch, the thing that they do. Which, of course, the answer then would be about the part of his teacher. Now, that was pre-Messianic times. But then why did the newspaper leave out the pre-Messianic episode? That's a small thing. Of Cook's writings, the stuff that's left out from Cook's writing and from other Sfarim. Jews can handle it. If you respect the kids and you respect people, they can handle it. Instead of changing things around, which just causes people to become cynical and lose respect and not to believe that you can't talk honestly about such things. I'm not saying that every single thing in a person's life has to be out there, obviously. That's ridiculous. But you see what David Melech's Mahalach was. So it's so important to understand this. If David HaMelech wanted it to be forever, in Tehillim. Because David HaMelech was teaching us. If you have in your heart, you have tainus against Hashem. Talk to him about it. Go talk to him. If you have tainus, don't run away. Talk to him. You know, one of my favorite writers growing up was Elie Wiesel. I just had his books like made a huge reshem on me growing up. He came from the same background as my parents and went through the same stuff, you know. And the way that he wrote, you know, he was very, very angry. I mean, I read everything he ever wrote that was ever published. I read everything he wrote. And when you follow it through chronologically, then watching him come back to Tefillin and the Shabbos, he spoke it out. The problem is that, like, you know, millions of people read that. I don't know, it's a problem, it's not a problem, but he spoke it out. I mean, there's some of the stuff, Zalman of the Madness of God, things that he wrote, it was so hard to hear. But he was a tormented soul. And he spoke it out. he published it in such a way, but he spoke it out. But it's interesting. You would think that such a person like Elie Wiesel, that he would have gone off and become the biggest apikoros and the biggest koifer. But through all of his anger and all of his writings and all of his tainus and all of his things, which was his sort of his bodidus, whatever that was, at the end he came out to be a, like he started off.
This is therapy.
Yeah. He spoke it out. And I felt that when I was reading this stuff growing up. I felt that there was an honesty in him. And even though it was hard to read this stuff, the Germans got some kid and they hanged him up. They made everybody watch the kid hanging on a rope. And he's standing there and all the prisoners are standing there. The Nazis made them watch this kid hanging on a rope because he stole a piece of bread. And then somebody says to turns to him and says, "No, so where's God now?" Where's the Baruch Shalom now? But he spoke it out. There's a godless in that. You could call it recklessness. You can call it whatever you like. I felt there was a godless in that. I felt that for me, that there was something therapeutic about it. I felt that very strongly. Even though it was hard to hear and I didn't speak to people about it, but I was reading everything he wrote like it was, because all the other stuff I was reading wasn't like that. It was either just the facts that are unbearable, and then the cover-ups, the theological cosmetic stuff. And no one was allowed to have any tainus or say anything or any kapedus. I never heard from my parents a bad word about God, you know, saying anything. So there was a certain energy in what he expressed that I believe he needed in order to come back to Emuna. His Emuna, and I believe that he needed that because he desperately wanted to be the way that he was when he was a kid. He wanted to be a Ma'amid. It doesn't mean that he wasn't a Ma'amid. It means that he was trying to find. That's what it says in Pasuk. Ezker Niginasi Belaila, at night, I remember the songs I used to sing. V'yachapes huuchi. It's an Oyved Hashem. It's not abandonment. Abandonment, you know, to run away. It's not running away. He's talking to the Baruch Shalom about it. He says, "This hurts me. I don't understand it." And again, this is my own interpretation, and I'm not recommending that everybody reads Elie Wiesel, Chule v'Chule. And as it is, it's going to be taken out 30 seconds of this, and then Brother Weinberger is recommending that every Jewish boy and girl reads Elie Wiesel. Maybe you already know where these things go. I don't disagree. At the right time, if the person's ready for it, and so on. But it was his bikush. It was his way of trying to find himself again, to come back to it. And he used a strong lashonis, very offensive lashonis. Some of the things that are very, very offensive. But and again, it hurts to hear, you know, as a kid it hurt. But I believe that it was something that was very special about it, that I appreciated the honesty, and I appreciated the fact that it seemed to me that he was not abandoning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, he was not keeping Shabbos, he was not putting on tefillin, he wasn't going to shul. That's true. Because he didn't get his answer yet. But somehow, over the course of his writings, he got the answer. And there he is. He's back in shul again. It's interesting. A person goes through. But those people went through, we can't understand. But that's what Rabbi Nachman is teaching. That's what he's saying. To talk. The Shpach is Libcha Lefonav. V'oz Yerachim Alecha Hashem is Baruch. V'yishlach V'libcha Machshavos Amitis. And then Hashem, in his own amazing way, will start to give you any answers. We'll tell you. Why did you go through? Why do you have to go through all of these things? Why? Again, there's always come out like some, there's no answer why, but Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his own way, tells the person, I my right hand is with you through the war also. through everything he went through, I never took my right hand away. It was hidden from you, but it was always there. And then to be able to live, to be able to live to see that and to hear that. Like she wanted to.
Yeah.
Huh? It's okay? You'll be able to go to sleep tonight?
Probably not.
Say that if you want to ask, you gotta ask, but not you. No? I don't know.
It's hard to balance, as Rabbi saying, like, holy chutzpah, when you're really, like, digging in deep to your roots on why it's bothering you, why Hashem seems like he's bothering you, Rabbi said. But when, as a Jew, you have to be mevatel your roots. Bittul's a huge part of being an Eved Hashem. You can't be fully mevatel yourself if you're digging deep into your roots and figuring it out.
I'm glad you asked that. So, there's no question that David HaMelech, that until he got that answer that David HaMelech put on film and kept Shabbos. And David HaMelech said, David HaMelech have bittul to the Ratzon Hashem. And that's what our Emunah begins. Emunah 001 means this is hurting me, this is bothering me, but I'm working hard to believe Emunah Shlema, that there's a reason for this. And I'm a vatal my Ratzon. I'm going to shul. I'm keeping mitzvahs. I'm keeping Shabbos. I'm doing everything. I'm not going to do any of those. But I need your help. It's hurting me. But this can't be without bittul. In the case of a human, of David HaMelech, was certainly not. And when I'm just telling this over a little bit about Elie Wiesel, so I'm saying over there, that he wasn't able to come. I'm not judging him, Chas v'Shalom, what he went through, but. So he there was a time that he ran away. But what I'm saying is that even when he was running away, he was running towards. He just didn't have that bittul that was supposed to strive for. It was supposed to want to be vatal. Yeah.
Balance that answer doesn't know kind of end. He said, when people figure that out, then vatal.
Yeah. So there was. He was being honest to say to Kosh Baruch, there's a part of me that's not altogether bottled to you. There's a part of me that's like a crease, like it's hurting me. And I don't want to be that way. I want to be like Dveikus. And this is hurting me. And I'm working on this bittul, but I got to tell you honestly, I don't get this. And it's hurting me. I'll do everything you tell me to do. I'll do all the mitzvahs. I'm not going to stop anything, but I have to tell you, it's getting in the way. And I need help with this. That's davening. That's what David HaMelech is teaching us. That's a beautiful and holy way to live in the daven. But always to do what we're supposed to do, 100%. To the Ratzon Hashem. Okay, we'll continue next week, Ms. Hashem.